Welcome to Intellectual Property Matters. In this WIPO podcast, we explore the fascinating world of creativity, innovation, and intellectual property. Let's listen, learn, and get inspired.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's episode of Classroom Conversations, a WIPO Academy series, and I'm joined today by Professor Pedro Marcos Nunes Barbosa, a WIPO Academy IP expert and the leading partner of Denise Borges Barbosa Avocados, and professor of law at the Pontifical Catholic University of Rio de Janeiro. Pedro has hired many IP lawyers and non-lawyers over the years, and he has helped many jumpstart their careers in the field of intellectual property, or IP for short. So today, he'll be giving our listeners advice from a hiring manager on how to build an IP career, how to get into academia or a law firm in this field, and other tips based on his wisdom and experiences. Thank you so much, Pedro, for joining us today. So how did you start out in the IP field, actually?
So first of all, I have the luck of being the second generation of IP attorneys and professors, since my father was also a scholar in the IP field. So having this kind of a genetic interest for IP is undoubtedly a reason that I have proceeded with this career. But even for those that have not the same chance or luck of being a second or third generation of attorneys or professors in the IP field, I would say that it was really important for my career, starting as soon as the law school started in Brazil, to have an internship experience. So in Brazil, we have a 5 years, 10 periods of law school. And in my second period, I started in an internship in the law firm that today I'm a leading partner. But at the time, I was just a young intern. And one of the fields that I worked in this first experience in an internship was IP law. But actually, just as an important fact of working with IP is that I, as an intern, I work with other fields of law as well that are not perhaps directly linked to the day-by-day basis of IP law, but have some kind of dialogue with IP, especially in the litigation part of the IP, since I work with civil law and civil procedural law. So in Brazil, internships in law are usually up to 6 hours a day, 5 day week experience. Just as I had a very interesting theoretical experience in law school, I have a very pragmatical experience with IP in the first law firm that I worked as an intern. And after that, in starting a career with IP, since IP has this multidisciplinary aspect, I had worked with labor law, with tax law, with administrative law, and other areas that, in a way or the other, will connect to IP. So I would say that my start in the IP career was treating IP as an important area joined with other areas of law.
In your studies, did you specialize in IP or was it just law in general? And then you specialize in IP after your internship experience?
Well, in Brazil, technically, what we call specialization course occurs after the law school. So after 5 years course in law, I had an extension in philosophy and I coursed 1 year and a half specialization course in IP at the same university as today as I'm a professor. So I would say my specialization as an academic title came afterwards, but before I had a pragmatical experience as an intern and then as a trainee.
You have two foots in the IP field, one in private sector in the law firm and the other one in academia as a professor. So you're getting a point of view from both sides. What do you notice between working in the field of IP in the private sector as opposed to academia for those who want to pursue different paths and different fields?
Talking with my colleagues that practice the same area as I do in the academia and in law firms around the world, for most countries, teaching IP, having a purely academic experience in IP, is usually very fulfillment, very important, very nice to work with, but not necessarily in the academic field. the most generous paychecks. Most people from the south of the world, usually when they work as an academic, actually they work as an academic and as an attorney. So there is an important economic reason, while from other reasons as well, I enjoy having these two different careers, because the private practicing of IP usually pays really good bucks, and I can fight for interesting cases in the judiciary system. So I would say that working in these two quite different manners of approaching IP gives me a rather unique experience, although it's not uncommon to work with these two kind of experiences if you live in a South country like I do, like Brazil or the African countries or other countries in the world.
And so you started out as an intern in the law firm which you're leading partner of right now. So looking back, what do you think were the qualifications and experiences that helped you the most get to where you are now?
Since IP is strongly regulated by international law, like the Berne Convention and the Paris Convention in the 19th century and the TRIPS Agreement in the 20th century, one of the most important aspects of working with IP in the academia or as an attorney is to having domain of foreign languages. So I was lucky that my school, before law school, I studied French and English as regular classes, and I had a kind of international formation in junior school. And afterwards, that became really helpful because many of the best doctrines are not written necessarily in English. There are marvelous authors in Portuguese, French, Italian, that means Latin languages. And of course, many other authors that write perfectly about IP that publish in German and in Chinese and in Japanese. And although I do not speak Japanese, Chinese, and German, usually I am quite lucky to access those kind of doctrines and literature because it's quite a common feature for IP professors to write in English as well. But many of the best books I have read about IP were written by, for example, the Italian author called Tullio Ascarelli, by the recently deceased professor from Angola in Africa, but that taught in Portugal, José de Oliveira Sansão, or, for example, in English by Roger Schechter or Paul Rubier from France. So I would say that a really important skill to work in the academia or as an attorney of IP is having domain of 4, 5, 6 languages, and especially languages from different branches, like the Latin-speaking languages or English or languages from Asia. It's really important to have access to different cultures and different views on IP, although most of the countries in the world participate with the same three international treaties I mentioned, which is Paris, Berne Conventions, and the TRIPS.
So you started out as an intern and then eventually got to where you are as a partner. So the internship was kind of your foot in the door for your career in the law firm. How did you get the internship? What were the tips or tricks you can give listeners on how to get a good internship that can jumpstart their career like it did for you?
I have to be frank. My first internship, I got the opportunity because my father was the founding partner of the firm. So there's no merits in that. But my father did not design me to work with him. He designed me to work with the most demanding and difficult partner of the law firm. Although I did not have an impartial manner to enter the firm, he wanted me to have the roughest treatment a young intern could have. But so as important as my first internship were my second and third internships in different law offices of different sizes. My first internship was in a boutique law firm, which is the law firm I work today. My second internship was in a medium-sized law firm, which I had known nobody before. And I was approved in a, well, in an unbiased manner of selection. And my third law firm was a huge labor law work. And again, I did not know anyone. And I got lucky passing exams to be selected as an intern. So again, perhaps for every 10 interviews I made in different law firms to fight for being an intern, a candidate, I was selected in one So I was only approved about in about 10% of all my attempts to enter a famous law firm. And in talking with colleagues that today work as leading partners in the firms that I was not selected to work as an intern, and they are professors in the same university as I am, well, generally, it's quite hard for an employer to have a perfect view of what is the candidate and what will become a candidate. Sometimes candidates seem really interesting in intellectual formation in the start, but then you see that it does not correspond from your plans to reality. And sometimes candidates do not seem to be fantastic, but they have a fantastic effort to go on and proceed in a better career. So I would say that having the experience of failing 90% of the attempts of internship in other law offices that I disputed and was not selected is to be patient and to try again.
That's a very good piece of advice there. On that note, what other pieces of advice would you give someone who's just starting out, you know, who maybe just graduated and is looking for a job in IP right now? I guess we're around summertime, so people have graduation is around the corner. So these are questions that are on a lot of people's minds. So you said languages, be patient. What else could you pass on?
Well, have studied and my student activity continues since I have my law school and then the extension in philosophy and then my specialization in IP course and then my master's in civil law and then my doctorate in commercial law and then my post-doctorate experience again in civil law. And in all those experiences, I would not say that I was a kind of a teacher's pet, but I was really interested in every professor's lessons. And many of my professional experiences started as being a dedicated student and in being interested in participating in extracurricular activities, just as participating as a listener to IP colloquiums, seminars. Many of my important experiences were held abroad of Brazil. At the late part of my deceased father's life, I had the custom to be his company in every IP colloquium he participated in Portugal, in Germany, Netherlands, United States of America. So even as a listener, I held so much information I was interested in publish about those experiences with elder peers. And publishing is a really important manner of achieving employers' attention in the IP field. And there's no such need that one has to be a doctor to publish IP small pieces. And generally, the experience working with a professor in a co-authorship of papers in IP, even the simplest 3-page papers, could completely change the chances of a candidate in an internship or in a candidate as a trainee to having his first shot. So I would say, even as a listener, to participate in IP colloquiums sometimes is the best opportunity to enter the market.
That's a very good idea. On this point, I just also want to mention that the WIPO Academy has various numbers of colloquiums and conferences for researchers where people can participate in or even just listen in and follow the discussions and debates that could be helpful. That's a very good piece of advice there. And so now you are the leading partner of the law firm. And of course, you're a hiring manager for the prospective employees of your law firm. So when you're on the board hiring people, what is something that you look for? What is something that is very distinguishable in an ideal candidate that can make someone stand out, not just on the CV, but when you meet them in an interview?
Well, there's some benefits working in the academia and as an attorney, since 90% of the attorneys in my law firm, 90% of the partners on my law firm were previously interns in the law firm. So usually we hire as attorneys people that has had experience as an intern and as a trainee. And how do I hire people to become interns and trainees? Well, usually I have taught to them in the university they were my students. They were the student that held up in a 50 pupil class, the students that were interested in writing, researching, and publishing still in the law school. And if they accomplish the chance that they have received as an intern, probably they will have a proposal. And many of IP firms that I know of in Brazil and abroad, well, they rather have a partner, a young junior attorney from the people that they know before working part-time jobs like trainees and interns. So I would say first impression counts amazingly as a junior or perhaps as a summer internship.
So internships, languages, listening to colloquiums and research seminars, those are your tips. And of course, making a good impression and being a good student and building a good network with your professors in law school are really the best ways forward if you want a career in IP in the private sector in the law firm. To summarize.
It is. And indeed, having pressed your professor and receiving perhaps a letter of recommendation from IP professors, usually they open so many doors. I would say not only in Brazil, but in South American countries, a letter of recommendation makes all the difference perhaps to having your first internship. But if you have your first opportunity and you fulfill it, probably your career in IP will go normally in the same law firm that you started. So yes, this is a really important part. But a second tip I would give, especially from people that still in university, as young as law schools or junior law schools, is to participate in IP researches inside the university. Many universities in Brazil and abroad have a tech area that will file patents, that develop inventions, that will build startups. And many of these free research, sometimes those positions are not even paid, but you have the experience opportunity to working with elder peers, not only as a lawyer, but in economy, in different areas of research. And this 6 months, 4 months, even 1 year research experiences sometimes is the first great opportunity that a person will have in IP field. And those are really important.
I'm also wondering, for those who want to enter academia, so just as professors, maybe they're really just passionate about research and academia and going to that field, what advice would you give there?
Well, at least in Brazil, usually nowadays, best universities will not hire personnel for an academic professor position if you do not have a doctorate. And having doctorates is an exercise of patience, since in Brazil, usually before you have a doctorate, you will have a master's. And before you have a master's, probably you have a specialization course. So this means that in Brazil, before disputing a position as a professor in the academic field, you will have at least 10 to 12 years of formal student position. So that means that you are a really patient person. But again, although the academia position is not directly responsible for people being rich in IP matter in Brazil, if you are an IP professor and you have a lot of publications and books and you are impartial doing that, and perhaps your lawyer activity, it complements your view in IP policy, your view in IP enforcement, then you will construct a reputation in the academia that will give you a lot of good clients and the professional private practice. So if you choose both careers, the reputation you build as an academia will be more important than you would imagine for your private practice. But for those people that want to enter the academia position, I would say that you should invest in national and international experiences in master's and doctorate. And that is urgent. You cannot really dispute the best positions in the best universities without at least having a master's. So that means 5 to 12 years of a lot of experience after your graduation.
So they have to study really hard.
Yes.
Out of curiosity, have you ever hired an unexpected candidate Were you, for example, on a selection board and then it seemed like there was one candidate that would be the most likely best one for the job, but then for some reason or the other, you went with an unexpected pick? And if that ever happened, why did you go with that decision?
Yes, that did happen in my academic experience and then as my private practice as well. Sometimes from 2 to 2 years, I have research projects that are extracurricular activities. And usually when I publish the selection rules, about 10 to 20 candidates appear up. And many of the times, my favorite candidate is selected, but he participated in other selections as well, and he opts to research with other professors. And sometimes my second, my third, my fourth, or my fifth best choice actually is the best choice. Because CVs in general, they are like makeup. They are not the real appearance of a person. They are storytelling that can be, well, interesting or not. And many times, especially when you analyze objective criteria like general grades, perhaps the candidate had a really bad time in a subject matter and that he had a bad score, but his specific interest was not in that bad score area, but in IP. So again, CVs can be deceptive. And that has happened in the research area as an academic, and that has happened as an attorney. Sometimes in internship and training areas in the law firm, I hold selection that selects 3 or 4 candidates, and the candidate with the best CV is a lazy candidate, although he had made previous good choices studying the best universities or publishing with elder peers. When he has to do with different areas of activities and an IP field, you work with the administrative, with prosecution, with consultancy, and with litigation, perhaps this young Popule only has interest from a part of his job. And again, you will have to deal with bureaucracy. And if you're good with everything, sometimes it's a better candidate to propose to be your partner in a long time view than for a true specialist that only wants to do a small part of the job. So again, CVs are deceptive, and only people that have been selected will have the opportunity to show if they hold up to the beautiful CV or if that was a kind of a makeup CV.
Looking back to all what you said, so the main tips are, first of all, be patient, learn different languages from different routes. So that would be helpful. Having an internship experience is very helpful. Being a very good student and having a strong connection with professors is helpful. And having kind of an interdisciplinary background or knowing a bit of different parts of the law field would be helpful than just a very, very narrow specialization when it comes to actually working in law, in IP law.
IP has a great deal to do with art. So my grandmother, she was a conductor of music. And my father, besides being an attorney and being a professor, he was a professional musician as well. And I'm an amateur musician. And many of the IP professional I know, they paint or they sculpture or they are poets. They write books that are not law books. And having this love for art and being exposed to the theater, to cinema, to art expositions, that is so helpful to really understanding the main point of IP is to, well, to fulfill and to stimulate the creators, not the middlemen like attorneys and economists and physicians and pharmaceutical engineers. If you do not love art, it's really hard to have a well-fulfilled career in IP because you will never understand your client. You will never really understand the inventor and the people that makes IP really important branch of law and of economics. So one should study something that's really different from the mainstream economic and attorney career. You should learn more from music.
You need an ingrained appreciation for innovation and creativity to work in a field that is servicing innovation and creativity, protecting IP rights and promoting people to be more innovative and creative and incentivizing them. That is true. This brings us to the end of our classroom conversation for today. Thank you so much again, Pedro. And most importantly, thank you to our curious listeners for tuning in. And we'll catch you next time on Classroom Conversations.